A notice in the calamity of Akira Jamthara's declaration. Alistina Merrick sits alone in the corner of the tavern, fidgeting with her untouched mug of mead. She dons a plain white commoner's dress and brown leather boots, face and long dark hair covered by a dark blue cloak and hood. A simple wooden bow and quiver of arrows peek out over her right shoulder, and various vials and pouches lay strung across her hips. The young lady is nondescript, unnoticeable, virtually a statue stiff if not for her nails tapping out an incessant, nervous tattoo against the metal mug. No one knows who she is, but she is very familiar with the heroes, if they can be called as such, standing on the opposite side of the tavern. Alistina grimaces at the self-assured, relaxed manner the three dark-clad figures display, each infamous in their own way for deeds against the people of Autokan. Nildrak, who would murder the most pious citizen in cold blood for silver. Zabulon, whose tales of viciousness and cruelty follow him like shadows as dark as his armor. And Akira Gemflower, who is known for using her black magic to crush anyone who gets in her way. Wide, sharp grin, bright and wicked, peeking out from under her hood. Alistina shudders as she remembers the remains of the mercenary's fury, and even more so at the memory of the grieving family left behind. All the grieving families and wounded and destitute left behind, as long as evil and Idnak Oidwa still remain unchecked, free to wreak havoc. It is with these images at the forefront of her mind, of bereft families, barren fields, the legions of sick and unwell that Alistina does not have enough potions and herbs to heal, and always, always, the sad figures of children who have lost hope, that Alistina pulls back her hood and stands up, her stool falling to the ground with a clatter in her haste. The sound breaks the tense, fearful silence, and Alistina swallows as all eyes turn to her, Nildrak and his companions watching in silent, amused scrutiny, like vultures watching their next meal struggle. In a moment of rare obstinance, the young healer straightens up, lifts her chin, and turns her gaze away from them, making a beeline for Lady Melissia until she is in front of the tall, fearsome knight and drops to one knee, right hand over her heart. "Lady Melissia," Alistina intones, voice soft but high, head bowed reverently. "For too long, I have traveled across the kingdom, attending to the sick and infirm, mourning the lives lost and ruined by Idnak Oidwa. Young men die in the journey to defeat him, parents and grandparents bury their kin too early, and children worry where their next meal is coming from, where the next disaster may strike, and what it might take from them." The young girl, brown eyes bright and resolute, raises her head to look Lady Melissia in the face. "Children should never have to worry about such things. The good and well-being of the kingdom and all those inhabited, Idnak Oidwa must be brought to justice. And I believe that can be achieved through you, Lady Melissia, through the crown, through your sword, through honor. If you would have me, I would like to offer my bow, my medicine, and myself to the cause. I will follow you to the wizard's castle, to the death, to the gates of hell, and back, my lady, in the name of what is right."